Hi, everybody. Welcome to It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, brought to you locally by Smiley One Heating and Cooling, Plumbing and Plumbing, of course, are our friends. And by the way, they're family owned and operated since 1955. In case you forgot that and didn't see me reading straight off the paper, I want you to know 1955, my friends at Smiley One have been around. So I want you to make sure you see Stephen Smiley, you say hi. You see Gary Rosen, you say hi to those guys. They'll take care of you when it comes to HVAC or heating and cooling stuff. So, all right, Daryl, obviously a big day. In Browns history, because we had an owner say, you know what, I got to tell you, I respect Jimmy Haslam and D Haslam for doing that for two reasons. One, for admitting the mistake on the football field, and two, to have the ability to throw your wife under the bus when she's sitting right next to you. Wow. I don't think I'd do that, but good luck. Hope you don't have to make dinner tonight.
Well, he probably also should have said J.W. Johnson and Whitney Johnson, because they're also members of the ownership group. But yeah, I mean,
right.
For them to come out and to admit that, you know, it was in Jimmy Haslam's words, it was a swing and a miss on Deshaun Watson. It is a trade that it cost them dearly, set the organization back. They have to recover from it now. For me, though, Andy, the biggest takeaway from the owners' meetings wasn't even that. Like, and I understand where you're coming from. Kudos to them for falling on the sword and acknowledging the mistake that's made. But now what's most important is how they move on, and how they're going to move on is it seems like they are going to give Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski at least 2 years to figure out who the franchise quarterback is going to be going forward. And they are not. And I cannot stress this enough, and I've been saying this all off season, they are not married to drafting a quarterback at number two. They're not going to be able to trade up to get Cam Ward, but the only other quarterback that's there is Shedeur Sanders, and it appears they're going to, you know, obviously they're going to meet with him later this week and have dinner and all that kind of stuff, along with Travis Hunter, but they are not married to just taking a chance on a quarterback because it's something they have to do. One scary thing, though, that has come out of the owners' meetings, they really like Kenny Pickett.
Daryl, I think that's a great point. I think this is about longevity for the guys that they have in place right now, and knowing that there's some security. Like, it just seems like everything that Andrew Berry has done here in the offseason has been very methodical. And Jeff and I said this last week, and they seem like they were coming from a place from a general manager that felt secure in his position. Fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And also, too, people have to understand, a lot of times when the Haslams have made changes within the building, yes, the results on the field have been a factor. No question about it, right? The losing has been a factor. But what's been the overarching factor is the inability to work together behind the scenes. The backstabbing, the finger pointing, the throwing the other person under the bus, whether it's the coach throwing the GM under the bus or the GM throwing the coaching staff under the bus, right? That's been a driving force for them to make changes. And we've not seen that with Andrew Berry or Kevin Stefanski. You know, Stefanski likes to say they're joined at the hip. They work very well together. They think of the game in similar fashion. Now, that's not to say that they don't have, you know, disagreements when it comes to personnel or strategy or whatever, but they do handle it like grown-ass adults in the room. And they don't go whining and crying to Jimmy or D. Haslam or J.W. or to Whitney, you know, crying about the other person, not working with them effectively. So I think that people need to understand that the Haslams are very comfortable working with Kevin Stefanski, working with Andrew Berry. And again, they acknowledge a major reason why this era of contention has not materialized in the fashion that we all expected, and in a fashion in which has generated a tremendous amount of criticism, especially from people like me. I've been very hard on the Haslams. I've been very hard on the Browns. I've been very hard on Stefanski and Berry because this hasn't gone the way that I expected it to, but they acknowledge a big reason for that is the Deshaun Watson situation. And because they share in the blame for that decision and the process that led them to giving him a fully guaranteed contract that they cannot get out of and giving up all those draft picks, that, you know what, it's hard to hold other people accountable for situations that you had tremendous influence on in causing, or however you want to phrase that, Andy. So I give them credit. I think that the Barry Stefanski regime gets two more years at least, barring, now there's a caveat to this, barring significant developments behind the scenes of toxicity and, you know, other things unrelated to them, you know, doing the best job they can do for the Cleveland Browns.
How many years does that, I'm sorry, how many wins is that translate into? Get me to 8 wins and you're okay. Get me to 9 wins and you're okay.
I don't think
I mean, I understand there's longevity, but there's just no way they could walk out of the season with 0, 1, 2, or 3 wins. I can't, you can't do that back to back years, no matter who the problem is. Right. Yeah,
I think they need to be north of 5 wins. And again, it depends who the quarterback is, right? Because I really believe, let's say, just for the sake of discussion, right? Again, I'm of the belief they're not taking Shedeur Sanders at 2. So I'm going to set that part aside. But maybe even not. Even if they do draft Shedeur Sanders, or if they draft Jalen Milroe, or they draft Jackson Dart, or Will Howard, or one of these other guys, right? Mm. I think Kevin Stefanski is going to get an honest opportunity along with Tommy Rees and Bill Musgrave, the new quarterbacks coach. Like, I think they're going to get an honest to goodness opportunity to try and develop that young rookie quarterback this season and going into next season. Because as Deion Sanders said on the Skip Bayless podcast show last week, right? Mm-hmm. You don't know if you've won in the draft for 2 to 3 years down the line.
It's
and
true.
While, yes, it's critical, and certainly I've got the bullseye on Andrew Berry right now. He's got to hit this draft. You got 5 of the top 104 picks in this draft. You should be able to get at least 3 strong contributors out of those 5 picks and at least 1 role player out of those 5 picks, and I'm going to give you the grace of not hitting on one of those picks because you're not going to bat 1,000 in a draft, but he's got to do very, very well because they got to make up for ground from the previous 3 years of not having first and second round picks.
Daryl, you just said it, what, 5 picks in the first 104, right?
Yes.
All right. How many of them will they actually use? Because if you use your theory, and I agree with this theory, that whatever you do with that second round pick, it's probably going to come up to get into the first round so that if you do find a quarterback you'd like towards the end of that first round,
right,
that you solidify him for a fifth year. So what's the price to do that? I mean, I know it's hard to tell right now because it depends on what spot you're moving into.
Right.
But let's just say that spot is in the 20s.
Yeah, I would say it would cost you 33, maybe one of your fourth round picks, and maybe you have 4 sixth rounders, so maybe you throw 1 or 2 sixth round picks in there as sweeteners to get back in to that first round, which again, I think they're going to do. I think between 25 and 32 is where they could, you know, jump back in. But then, hey, you know, it depends on the quarterback, right? You know, I have maintained that these quarterbacks are not worthy of first round picks. I think Tennessee Titans are taking Cam Ward. Do I think he's worthy of that pick? Hail to the no. Shedeur Sanders, I don't think he's a top 2 pick in the draft. I think he's a mid-teens pick in the draft. Okay. But like, let's say a guy like Jalen Milroe, right? Okay. He's probably, I don't know, back end of the second round, third round, maybe. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it depends where they draft that quarterback as well. And I do think there's a real chance there, Andy, especially if they wait, right? I like the idea of, you know, coming away with Travis Hunter at 2 and a running back at 33. I don't know, you know, maybe Trayvon Henderson from Ohio State or something like that. I love that idea. And then you use another pick down the line on one of these quarterbacks, because really you're trying to project something that's really hard to project. As I like to say, we're throwing something against the wall and hoping something sticks portion of the experiment when it comes to the Browns and the quarterback carousel. So I think there's a real good possibility Kenny Pickett is your week one starter this year. I really do. Just listening to what Kevin Stefanski has had to say and also what Andrew Berry had to say on Sunday down in Florida at the owners' meetings, it really does sound like they like themselves some Kenny Pickett, and they think there's something there that they might be able to find.